Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, it's the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. Julio Diaz is the host of Let's Go Pensacola at 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio, and also the founder host of the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook and then watch movies and talk about them. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
So we have a lot. We'll see what we can get to in the time short time we've got allotted, but Blue Moon is the first one. What's this?
Yes, this is a movie about Lawrence Hart, who is, of course, one of the great lyricists in Broadway history. He was the original partner of Richard Rodgers before Rodgers and Hart were the team for years, and then Rodgers started working with Oscar Hammerstein. And the movie is set on the night that Rodgers' first show with Hammerstein opens, a little show that people might have heard of called Oklahoma. And it's kind of Lawrence Hart kind of trying to overcome his insecurities as the show opens. Everybody knows it's going to be this massive hit, and that he recognizes is this great hit, even though he's not involved with it and he's jealous and he doesn't think it's very good, but he knows that everybody's going to love it. It's basically all set at the famous restaurant Sardi's on Broadway, which is kind of like the Broadway spot for anybody that's involved with Broadway theater.
Okay.
Very small cast, all in one set, anchored by this incredible performance by Ethan Hawke as Lawrence Hart, but with a great cast all around him. Bobby Cannavale is the bartender, plays a very key role. Margaret Qualley is kind of Hart's muse, this young college student that he's taken under his wing. And Andrew Scott as Richard Rodgers. Just really great performances, really absorbing story. There's a lot of inside baseball for people that are musical theater fans and just Broadway fans in general. But I also think you could just go into this not knowing who any of these people are and be riveted by it.
Well, that's good, because really it sounds a little bit like a biopic of Pete Best, you know, like the Fifth Beatle kind of thing is what it sounds like to me. But
I mean,
it sounds interesting. It's just kind of the historical element's a little bit, you know, I'd never heard the name. You know, so
I will say that I get the comparison, but Hart is, you know, it's
a towering feature in his own.
Again, the movie's called Blue Moon because Rodgers and Hart wrote Blue Moon together.
Got
it. One of the most famous songs in the American songbook. And he's written, you know, dozens of songs that are equally as famous. So it's not quite the same analogy, but I can get where you see it because Rodgers and Hammerstein are the most successful.
So well known.
Pretty much of all time. Yeah.
Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere?
Yes, and thank you for getting that title right, because I keep wanting to call it Deliver Us From Evil. This is a movie that I have been very excited about hearing with it coming up. It stars Jeremy Allen White, who, of course, everybody knows from The Bear, as, of course, Bruce Springsteen, one of the, you know, speaking of great songwriters, one of the greatest songwriters of the modern era. This is a biopic about the time in Springsteen's life when he was working on the Nebraska album, which was the 1982 album that was, he stepped away from the E Street Band and he made this acoustic album that was not super successful commercially, but it's considered this artistic masterpiece.
Sure.
I've been a little confused by the commercials for this, because the commercials have been using Born in the USA, and I know
wrong album.
I know that this is about the making of Nebraska, but I looked up, and he actually did write Born in the USA in 1981 and did record a version of it for Nebraska before deciding that wasn't the way this was going to go. So it does kind of make some sense. The reviews basically say Jeremy Allen White is great, but the movie doesn't really hold together, unfortunately. Running about 62% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I was pretty surprised by.
Yeah, pretty low, but I mean, still plus 50, but still.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we got a couple others to get to, just because there's so many this week, as often happens to be the case. Regretting You?
This is based on a novel by, I believe her name is Colleen Coover, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name right, but the woman that wrote It Ends With Us, and she's kind of the the author of the moment for people who like kind of sudsy relationship drama kind of novels.
Sudsy relationship drama novel. I love that. That's actually okay. Yeah. How's it rated?
Not very good. In the 30% range. Allison Williams is now playing moms, which kind of surprised me. But
Williams, that happens. You know, eventually grandmas. Yeah, you know, Chainsaw Man the movie. This is anime.
Yeah, this will probably be the biggest successful movie financially this weekend. It's a very, very popular anime series that is now coming to the big screen for the first time. It's about a young man who's trying to work off his debt to the Yakuza. He is killed, but this world has these little demon creatures, and he makes a deal with one of these demon creatures, and he becomes Chainsaw Man. He has a chainsaw for a head when he's in his powered form, and he goes out and does things with his chainsaw head, basically.
Feels a little Ghost Rider-y to me.
Yeah, a little bit, but with the more anime side, and love story and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Very, very, very good, but limited amount of reviews. There's only been 16 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes so far, but so far sitting at 100.
All right. Well, we got Shelby Oaks and Eli Roth's Dream Eaters. Eli Roth presents Dream Eaters. I'm sure interesting, but we are always totally out of time.
Both horror movies.
Yeah, both horror movies. Hey, it's Halloween. You know, that's the stuff we expect to get. You guys, are you on tomorrow for Let's Go Pensacola?
Yes, we are. We actually have a full hour show tomorrow. So
excellent.
Looking forward to that.
4 o'clock here on News Radio, and of course, Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. Do you know what you're going to watch next week yet?
Looking at Begonia, I believe it's called. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but it's the latest in this series of collaborations between the director, Yorgos, can never pronounce his last name, Lanthimos, the person that directed Poor Things and The Lobster and et cetera, and of course starring Emma Stone because she stars in every one of his movies now.
Come see unpronounceable films by unpronounceable directors. Fantastic. Julio Diaz, as always, sir, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week. All right, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
All righty. We've only got one accident on the books right now at Gulf Beach Highway and Jamaica Street that is going eastbound before you approach South Navy Boulevard. So just be aware of that. That's slowing down people on Gulf Beach Highway. Other than that, I-10, I-110, they're all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Time once again for Pensacola's favorite fall tradition. The Great Gulf Coast Arts Festival fills Seville Square with some of the nation's finest artists and pairs them with eclectic live music, delicious food, and hands-on activities for the kids. 3 days of art, music, food, and you're invited to be part of it all for free. November 7th, 8th, and 9th. Special thanks to Gulf Winds, Pods, Gulfside Landscaping, and WEAR. Details at ggaf.org.
ADX Communications, the family-owned broadcaster behind Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist, is looking for our next great electronics technician. You'll handle the installation, maintenance, and repair of studio and transmitter gear, network systems, and more, keeping our award-winning radio stations sounding their very best. We offer competitive pay, medical, dental, and vision coverage, a 401k with company match, plus paid vacation and holidays. If you have the skills, the drive, and the passion for serving our community, apply now at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX Communications, serving our communities and looking for you. If you love electronics, reach out today. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Progressive's Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Austrian handgun manufacturer Glock. As some of you know, we've always been in favor of anything that adversely affects gun manufacturers, since if there were no guns, there would be no gun deaths. And since any reasonable human being wants to eliminate gun deaths, the most reasonable thing to do is to eliminate guns. The more guns we get rid of, the more lives we save. It's simple logic. And since Glock is one of the most popular makers of pistols sold in the United States, anything to cut down on their sales is a good thing. That's why we celebrated California's Governor Gavin the Whitest Teeth on Earth Newsom for signing the bill that bans Glock purchases in California so long as they contain a cruciform trigger bar, which makes the guns easily convertible into a fully automatic machine gun just by using a small device called a Glock switch. In signing the legislation, Governor Golden Tan said that Glock has known about this design flaw for long enough to have come forward with a solution, but until they produce one to thwart their conversion into assault weapons, Glocks may not be sold in California. Now, obviously, we know nothing about guns, their operation, their safe handling, or even what in the heck a cruciform trigger bar even is. As faithful adherents of the Holy Gospel of Universal Disarmament, we would never own a gun ourselves. All we really know about guns is to repeat crucial catchphrases such as, "Get these weapons of war off our streets," or, "People don't kill people, guns kill people," and why would anyone need 30 bullets to hunt a squirrel? But if it helps reduce the presence of guns in California to ban Glocks until they fix the triggery thing so that the switchy thing can't make the slidery thing go back and forth real fast, we're for it. If we can't do anything about these high-caliber clip capacitators with the barrel shroud magazines that go up and over, at least we can jump on the bandwagon to limit the sale of a technology that we clearly do not understand. Remember, the goal is to spout just enough smart-sounding gibberish that the people who also don't understand guns won't realize we don't either. So keep up the great work, Governor Perfect Smile. When you looked so uncomfortable holding that Sig Sauer Sean Ryan gifted you on his podcast, making it seem like maybe you'd never actually held a gun before, we loved you all the more for it. Your awkwardness made you seem like one of us, a gun grabber whose greatest fear was to actually have to grab a gun. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, and I have to tell you, this is starting to feel very strange to me, but for the second week in a row now, I have the need to praise Secretary of Killing People and Breaking Things, Pete Hegseth, for following up so brilliantly on what he did last week when he forced journalists who wouldn't get pre-approval from the department for their stories to turn in their Pentagon press credentials. Of course, we applauded this direct violation of openness and transparency because we can't wait to use it for our advantage when our leaders are in power again. We also, by the way, love the fact that Pentagon spokeshumans are consistently misrepresenting the nature of these policies, refusing to mention the elements that the journalists actually objected to, an exercise in strawman misdirection even our most adept wokeites can only dream of. It's as if they already know the eighth maxim of woke PR. When you do something outrageous, never tell the whole truth about it. Make it seem like something obvious and insignificant, if at all possible. Well, after every single outlet except one, OAN, refused to follow his new rules and surrendered their credentials, this week Hegseth approved credentials for a whole new cadre of, let's call them sort of journalists. Right-wing sycophants and conspiracy peddlers, including the likes of The Gateway Pundit, who settled a defamation lawsuit related to its 2020 election fraud lies, Lindell TV, created by MyPillow founder and CEO Mike Lindell, who also had to pay for an election lie-related defamation case, and whose lawyers were fined by the court for using AI hallucinations in their legal briefs, and Tim Pool, who was paid $10 million by Russian media to publish pro-Kremlin propaganda, he says by mistake. Needless to say, these are not the sharpest drill bits in the journalism-adjacent toolbox. But no matter, this is fantastic news. Obviously, we love it because it makes the administration of what's-his-name look so bad, as if they despise a free press that will fact-check their claims and expose their secrets. The simple fact that almost every actual news outlet rejected the rules, including even Newsmax and Fox News, makes the Pentagon and their emperor overlord look really, really bad. But more than this, yet another precedent has now been set for when we are in power. All we have to do is impose ridiculous restrictions on actual journalists, forcing them to refuse, and then we can hand-select an imitation press corps to pretend to report on whatever we tell them to print. It's beyond ideal. What does Clechtenstein's Fifth Advisory on Subversively Influencing Populations tell us? Whenever possible, run the media yourself, but always make it seem like the press is free and open to say whatever it wants. So although it feels very weird to say it now twice in a row, well done, Secretary of Violence and Mayhem. You deserve the accolades, which I'm sure the new, not quite a press corps, will be certain to bestow upon you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we just want to take a moment to really lavish some well-deserved patchouli oil-enhanced praise fragrance on the women of our movement. Now, I know it might seem a little odd to collectively recognize an entire gender category, and who am I as a man to praise women? They don't need my affirmation after all, but when I tell you why, you won't think it's strange in any way. Research done by the universities of Göttingen and Jena in Germany analyzed data from more than 13,000 heterosexual single women in 144 countries, studying their responses to a survey about their ideal partners. The key takeaway was that 47% of left-leaning women, you know, our gals, say they would rather remain single than date someone with different political views. That number for right-leaning women is just 41%, and for moderates, 22%. So our ladies are definitely winning the political spectrum sexual manipulation game. You see, the truth of it is men will do almost anything if they think it will give them what they really want from women, which is not primarily to play tennis together. That's why every generation of men is willing to embrace ridiculous new trends, fads, or even belief systems whenever they even suspect these might produce intimacy advantages with the ladies. No man in real life would ever wear bell-bottoms or skinny jeans, sport a broccoli cut, or grow sideburns, and no man would ever march in protest carrying hashtag MeToo, ally, or we're all feminists now signs unless they thought it would get them the nookie they really desire. Well, you woke-alite women folk are really using your politico-sexual leverage to get men to convert to the cause. If you won't date them unless they're as enlightened as you are, well, by gum, they'll virtue signal better than anyone has ever virtue signaled before. This means that rather than using sex as a weapon, you find fembots are using sex as leverage to get what really matters, political change, which is exactly what sex is best used for. So keep going, ladies. Keep teaching those men that before they can get lucky, they have to get lefty. You definitely can get them to act against their political self-interest in the long run, so long as they keep getting just enough happy endings in the short run. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
828 News Radio 92.3. Get lefty before you get lucky. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
And I'm left-handed, so. All right, just one accident to let you know about. Gulf Beach Highway and Jamaica Street. It's going eastbound before you hit Navy Boulevard right there, so just be aware of that if you're on Gulf Beach Highway. It's about a 10 to 12-minute delay in that area. Other than that, there are no other accidents or delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Holy smokes, they're projecting 2 feet plus of rain on parts of Jamaica over the next couple of days.
It's just going to sit there and spin.
Golly, this thing is a mess. Hey, if you are thinking about making a real estate transaction and trying to decide, you know, who can help you best with that, well, go with Track Record. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty sell a lot of homes. I talk about her all the time. She's fantastic. But one of the things that's kind of been a little bit of an issue she's noticed recently is, you know, people will get their home listed with somebody and it doesn't sell. Now, a couple of years ago, that never happened, but now it is happening a little bit. And she said, you know, several times recently, people have come to them after they've had one, two, or in a couple of cases, as many as five prior realtors. Can you imagine having five realtors and they don't get your house sold? They come to Christina Leavenworth. She's like, zip, zap, here you go. Doom, done. We can take care of you. So, look, if you want to get it done, give her a call. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. It's day 24 now of the government shutdown. Democrats calling on Republicans to extend Affordable Care Act subsidies before they expire at the end of the year. Republicans say they won't negotiate until the shutdown is ended. Yesterday, the Senate blocked three bills that would have paid federal workers. during the shutdown. The FBI investigating NBA players and coaches that were caught up in illegal gambling schemes. Portland Trailblazers coach Chauncey Billups was arrested Thursday for a poker scheme involving the Italian mafia. Miami Heat player Terry Rozier and former coach Damon Jones have been accused of using inside information to make wagers on games.
They were enticing, you know, whales to come and play poker with them. Meanwhile, they had x-rays underneath the table. They had cameras in the chip boxes. They were doing card shufflers that would tell you the order of the cards.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And that was just the poker side. Then there was the basketball side where they were allegedly deliberately faking injuries to leave games before they hit the over-under on rebounds and stuff like this. Crazy, crazy thing.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump posting Canada cheated and got caught, cutting off all trade with Canada, charging they fraudulently say President Ronald Reagan didn't like tariffs in this ad from Ontario.
Tariffs inevitably lead to retaliation by foreign countries.
The Reagan Foundation says Canada did not have permission to edit Reagan's remarks. The president flies to Malaysia this evening for an Asian trade summit and his visit with China's President Xi. President Trump posting the stock market is stronger than ever before because of tariffs. And markets rising on the September CPI report. Inflation, 3% year over year, one tick less than expected. New York Democrat Attorney General Tish James at the defendant's table in Norfolk, Virginia, against federal bank fraud charges on her Virginia mortgage, asking the judge to dismiss the case and stop prosecutors from talking about it. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 58 degrees right now. We've got sunshine on a Friday morning. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3 in just a few minutes. Pensacola residents shared their ideas for Bay Bluffs Park's future this week at a listening session for the park's restoration project. Some of the ideas included expanded overlooks and bike trails at the meeting. Mayor D.C. Reeves emphasized all ideas were welcome, said nothing would be out of bounds. That park was closed back in 2023 due to safety concerns about the condition of the boardwalk. A $2.2 million state grant has been secured to address the issues and restore public access. The city is partnered with Conservation Florida to preserve non-conservation areas of the park as a nature space. Some suggestions given at the meeting included improved beach access and lighting. Mayor Reeves did note a $2 million budget could limit the scope of the work that can be done. An online survey for additional input is available. Former bookkeeper for the Escambia School District has been sentenced for embezzling tens of thousands of dollars from a local middle school. Prosecutors said 41-year-old Lindsay Kelly was ordered to serve 120 days in jail. She'll also serve 5 years of probation following that sentence. Kelly was arrested in 2024 when the school conducted an internal audit and found money missing from several programs at Ernest Ward Middle School. Prosecutors said Kelly admitted to taking the money and using it to pay debts. According to a plea deal, she agreed to pay back $50,000 in restitution. Now, the United Way of Florida gearing up today for its largest single-day volunteer event of the year, the Day of Caring.
This year, we have 68 different projects we're doing here in
locally?
The community.
Yes. 68?
68 different projects in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
And United Way Marketing Coordinator Christy Page there. The annual tradition brings together hundreds of volunteers from local businesses, organizations, and the community to complete hands-on projects that directly benefit nonprofit organizations and the community. Eight men from Pensacola were among 13 arrested in Operation 12 Parsecs, an operation by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement aimed at combating child predators. Those men included Marshall Blancett, Durant Brown, Royce Cromer, Noah Kimmons, William Pierce, Robbie Robertson, Ricardo Del Sosario, and Chad Wren. They face charges related to solicitation and enticement of minors. Several men from the Gulf Shores area were also arrested in that operation. Investigations are ongoing. Florida Senator Ashley Moody wants Senate Democrats to end what she's calling the Schumer shutdown. Moody said on the Senate floor yesterday that Democrats need to act in the interest of all Americans, not just a radical subsection of their base. She said it's time to restore funding to core government functions and ensure the troops, law enforcement officers, and federal workers receive their paychecks. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. We're back to rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Not seeing any delays to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today. Temperatures warming up near 81 degrees for your high. Plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 79 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Showers and thunderstorms moving in for Sunday. 60% chance of those showers and thunderstorms. High near 76. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Sunshine, 58 degrees right now. Your money now. This hour. Our markets are up at the opening bell. The Dow's up over 0.5%, almost 0.6% at 47,36.93. S&P 500 up about 0.75% this morning at 67.90. The NASDAQ is up just over 1% at 23,179.98. Taking a look at our 10-year bond rate, up a bit at about 0.1% at, it's up at 3.999% right now. Taking a look at our gold prices today, up 0.3% at 41.32.30. Right now, silver is down 27 cents, 48.43. Looking at our crypto market, up across the board today, 655.49 for Bitcoin at 111.49. Ethereum up about 93 bucks at 39.54.74. The rest of the crypto market following suit today. Looking at our financial headlines today, Social Security benefits will see an increase next year. The Social Security Administration announcing Social Security and the Supplemental Security Income will receive a cost of living adjustment of 2.8%. That means Social Security retirement will go up by an average of around $56 per month in January. Well, many federal workers are missing their first full paycheck as the government shutdown enters day 24.
The Senate, unable to pass a bill that would provide pay for federal employees like air traffic controllers, TSA officers, and law enforcement who are working without pay. Democrats objecting, saying the bill gives the president too much power to decide who gets paid.
And that's NBC's Ryan Nobles. Senate Democrats rejected a Republican bill that would have paid essential workers during the shutdown yesterday. Republicans blocked two Democratic bills that would have paid all federal workers. Now, the annual inflation rate hit 3% in September, according to numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics that have been released just this morning. The Consumer Price Index, the cost of a variety of goods and services, the official economic data was released. The only official economic data that's been released during the government shutdown, that was an increase of 0.3% for the month, slightly less than what economists had been predicting. 8:38, our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
To the hip, hop, the hip, it, the hip, hip, hop, you don't stop. Rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's a chance to talk over the topics of the week with a couple of friends here in studio with me. I've got Jonathan Owens, a many times participant in the wrap, and a first time participant, Gay Vallemont, who ran against first Matt Gaetz one time and then within the next cycle ran against Jimmy Patronis. It's kind of weird. We had Jimmy here in studio an hour ago. Now we got Gay here. completely unintentional, but, you know, there it is. Welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, Gay, for the first time, and Jonathan for many times. Good to
Thank
have you guys.
You. Thank you. I'm excited.
What are you doing these days since you're not running for Congress at the moment?
Well, I started a PAC. I mean, it's called Engage, Y'all. And what
the name of the PAC is Engage, Y'all?
Engage, Y'all. All right. We're Southern Democrats, so I want to get Southern Democrats engaged and help people run for office.
In the political process, not to each other, though.
Not to each other.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. I want to get Democrats elected in places like this because we proved after we turned Escambia County blue that we can compete. We just have to, we have to have the money. We have to have the infrastructure. And the party's not going to help us in a red area like this. They didn't help
Not federal
me.
Or state, really.
No, the National Party didn't help me a bit. The state party only cares about Tampa, Orlando, and Broward County. So I'm going to fill those gaps for good candidates that want to run in areas like this.
Hey, as a believer in, you know, having competition for everything, I'm in favor. I mean, I'm not going to vote for your folks very often, but or ever. But that's okay. I'm a believer in the process, and I love the idea of targeting an area where you clearly don't get any help from the National Party or
right.
the State Party here in very red panhandle. But, you know, it's more purple than people think. You know, the city certainly is purple or blue leaning, you know,
yeah.
in a red county. That's something that I think people don't understand a lot, and they're kind of baffled by it, but they, you know,
right.
don't realize it. Jonathan, I know I'm going to hit two at least topics today that I know are like sweet spots for you. tiny homes. Ashley Hoffberger and the county commission, brave young lady that she is, brought up tiny home ordinance, and I mean, didn't quite get body slammed over it, but it was really interesting to watch all four of the other county commissioners give their various 54 reasons why they couldn't possibly embrace tiny homes, except maybe under limited circumstances in her own district, and certainly not in residential subdivisions. But I thought that she learned a lot. I thought it was a really savvy political move because she's got the ammunition now to, if she comes forward with something, well, you said maybe here, but what do you think?
It's funny how the NIMBYism just kind of flew out.
They actually said it out loud, not next to my house, not in my neighborhood. Yeah,
great over in your area, but not mine.
Why would anybody want cheaper own-your-own-home-ishness ever?
So the tiny home little village thing that's on Garden Street there that the Catholic Diocese is putting together, mm-hmm. which is great. I mean, it's a transitional piece,
yep.
In theory. But doing a blanket-wide, everyone can have tiny homes, why have zoning at that point?
Right.
Because it just blows out your dwelling units.
Right.
Now, accessory dwelling structures.
Mm-hmm.
In the proper
mother-in-laws,
that's a whole different conversation than tiny homes. And I think it got the water got muddied a little bit during their conversation. That's two totally different topics.
Because ADUs on an existing single-family detached lot is, I mean, why would you even care about that?
Right.
And also they talked about like in trailer parks, mobile home zone, that kind of stuff. It's better than dilapidated mobile homes or mobile homes at all. And it's not just for transitional housing. It's for people starting a life, you know, single, married, no kids, you know, or older, widowed kind of, you know, you can see a lot of scenarios where the small space makes sense for folks. But yeah, you wouldn't want to mix it into the neighborhoods, but little pieces here and there, and it's affordable. And it's, I mean, I just don't really get the big objection because they treated her like she was saying putting them everywhere, and she was not saying that. But their same response was, well, let's almost kind of put them nowhere. And I'm like, well, that's not really the right answer. Gay, thoughts?
Yeah, I'm all for affordable housing, and I applaud her for making the effort to do that. I don't know why anybody would oppose affordable housing when we have an affordability crisis right now. I mean, you understand that, mm-hmm. there's, even in Pensacola, you can't, you know, find somewhere a one-bedroom apartment for more than, I mean, for less than $1,700 a month. We have an affordability problem, and I think probably the other commissioners are just concerned about their own property.
Well, their property, and, you know, builders are a powerful political influence, you know,
yeah.
and they probably don't love the downside competition of all that. I knew we had gotten to a different place in housing when we were biking one time, and I saw the most run down, must have been 40 years old mobile home, single wide on a crummy little lot, and he had a for sale sign, $100,000. And I thought, it's a joke, right? No, not a joke. But that's the point is, you know, if you can get into a house, even if it's a small house for 100 grand or 90 grand, and it's on a pad and it's built to code, and
right.
you know, you know, I just, it's not necessarily what I want to live in at this stage of my life, but why does that mean that nobody can want to?
Right.
You know? So would you, Jonathan, you don't favor them all the way, but in certain places and, you know, for certain roles, is that what you're saying?
It's kind of like drinking, right? I mean,
in moderation.
In moderation,
right time,
you know, God turned water into wine. You know?
Not while you're driving.
Not while you're driving. The tiny homes can work, but again, it's two separate conversations for accessory dwelling units and and tiny home villages, if you will. You know, I thought it was really disingenuous and misrepresentative of their constituents to say, well, you know, if you got rid of all those crappy mobile homes and, you know, just put tiny homes in their place, that'd be way better. Well, you know what? There's people that live in those homes right now.
Right.
And those people vote.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Don't discount them because it's not where you would live or where, you know, you would want to live. Be careful what you say up there.
And the thing
that's necessary.
And the thing that I didn't hear that kind of surprised me was look for, you know, I mean, three of them are conservatives, allegedly, you know, Republicans, allegedly. I mean, mm-hmm. Right? You know, right. I mean, Lumen's obviously a Democrat and he's got his own issues as a builder and stuff. But okay. You guys are supposed to believe in property rights. And property rights, I hear a lot of times people upset about zoning and restrictions and the government intruding on your life. And if you've got a property and you want to build some tiny homes on it or a tiny home on it, you know, generally speaking, we're supposed to be in favor of your ability to develop your property how you want to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we'll come back to this and some other stuff in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. We're back rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Can I make just a... I'm almost hesitant to say this, but I think Ashley's playing some smart politics. I think that, you know, some of what she's doing is, oh, I'm just going to throw this thing out here. You know, I'm the young woman on the board or whatever. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to get argument. But in the process, I got this, and this.
Right.
And look at what I might be able to build off of that in the future. I mean, am I wrong? Am I reading this wrong?
No. People, you know what country dumb?
Yeah.
You know, golly gee, I think I want to talk about this just to see what you'll say.
Right.
Oh, really? Well, okay. Well, now she's got all kinds of sound bites of what every single one of those folks sitting on that dais had, and all of this is public record. Someone can go back and say, well, you know, I don't want that in my backyard. Well, that'll be great for a campaign in the future.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we talked about it extensively, and, you know, people are informed about how this conversation went. And I don't just, you know, I see on the TDC, same thing. I saw her bring up the issue of evaluating the ROI of various plans. And what is your actual dollars per room night? What is the return in sales tax? Can we get some, you know, some better metrics when we make decisions? And, you know, and I listened to the pushback to that and I thought, I don't know, man, those are fair questions.
Yeah. Accountability, yeah. Right?
Business owner questions,
right?
The kind of things a business owner, like I think DC and the city is kind of that same way. Like, you know, you might not like what he's saying, but it's business owner perspective.
Yeah.
This is a costly thing. Maybe we can't afford it, you know? All right. 437-1620. If you have things you want us to discuss, we don't say that a lot, but it's worth doing if you ever have something you want us to bring up. The Perdido Key Beach Access.
Beach Access or...
Well, okay.
Beach Access or... access to the beach.
Well,
because
so,
there's a difference, right? It's kind of like tiny homes and ADUs.
Yeah,
are we buying more
matter.
Real estate to create more beach access, or are we talking about the lawsuit?
The particular issue here is the claim that at Beach Access 1, you walk down the alleyway to get to the beach. And then once you get there, there's this little strip of allowed space. There's a sheriff's deputy. There's yellow crime scene tape. The condo owners are paying people to put out chairs to disincentivize public. You can't go down the – I don't know if the 75-foot easement is in that part of the beach or not. I know it's farther down west, but I don't know if it's in that part. It feels like people don't have access to the beach they're accustomed to. But then again, there's always the, hey, you could buy some, right? So I don't know the answer. And the county's kind of like – waiting and seeing and working through the legal process. It's very unclear right now, but it's certainly not a good situation.
So as a user of Beach Access 1, especially over the past, how many days has the government been closed? Because Gulf Islands National Seashore has got a big red flag
Can't
up there.
Go there
no
yeah.
access to the public space that you pay for parking at. It really probably has exacerbated the use of Beach Access 1 because that's where
true,
everyone
yeah.
turns around right there. Oh, I can't go down there. I'm going to go right here. And it's probably been highlighted more so, you know, in the past month.
That's a good point.
We went out, two weekends ago, I think, or last weekend.
Jonathan's daughter is here in studio.
Yes, I looked over at my daughter because we all went to the beach. Is it a problem? Maybe.
Yeah, but who's it a problem for? I mean, the beach is open and should be open to all pedestrians. I mean, I don't understand the problem.
So I see both sides, right? Because the
same.
Beach was our district for, you know, 6.5 years.
Right. He was the chief of staff for Doug Underhill.
Right.
For people who don't know.
So, and this was an issue then. People bought a legal description.
Right.
Here's my...
That they thought went to the water.
That they thought went to the water in some cases. Now, if you bought directly next to Beach Access, when you also realize that you bought directly
to public access.
You know where you bought it, right.
It's like living next to a park or living next to a school. You can't complain about the children being delivered every day, or you can't complain about the noise if someone's at the park. You bought next to a park.
Right.
So accept it. Mm-hmm. You know, that 75 feet access is, you know, it's public access, and it's available for everyone, not just you because you bought a condo and a stack of other people with condos.
And so. I think in this case, some of the people who bought condos, they were like one street in and expected that they would be able to walk down Beach Access 1 and get to the beach and use it, have discovered all of a sudden that they can't really, not much. And that's part of the problem, too. Now, again, you didn't buy a beach, but you did think you were getting it. And, you know, if it's the way it was, that's why customary use, right? If this is the way it has been, then you can't just up and change that suddenly. That's been the fight, right? That's
right.
The whole idea of customary use.
Right. I live on Pensacola Beach, and public access is necessary. I mean, we went through this with the beach several years ago, and privatizing, you know, to the water, and that's I think it's ridiculous. I think that anybody that would expect to buy a condo and have just their piece of sand is kind of sad.
Well, the two different worlds now,
and then Gulf Breeze
Perdido
too.
Key,
right? Perdido Key is ownership.
Is ownership?
Yeah.
Pensacola Beach is leasehold,
right?
Which is a whole different. Your lease is your footprint of your house, and everything else around that legal description is public access. Not the same on Pensacola, or I'm sorry, on Perdido Key.
And the sand does belong to the county.
Yes.
Whereas in Perdido, it doesn't belong to the county. Well, but that's the question, right?
Right.
With the easement or not? So. And I was, you know, I think it's very interesting because we go around a lot of places. We go boating and we go biking, okay? And so I see the beach access issue or the water access issue when you're in Gulf Breeze and there's like this little strip of land. You're like, what is that? Or in Tiger Point, you're like, what is that? And it goes to a water access that's public, barely, you know, a lot of times. But that's private ownership, and so that's the limit. I get it. You know, when it's not owned by the public, there's a fight.
Right.
Right.
And... that's kind of always been the case, as far as I can tell. I mean, I've only lived here 10 years, but it always seems like that's the issue. People want to own their land. They want to own their beach if they bought it, and people want to use the beach, and there's only so much availability to have at it.
Cotton fields are really pretty in the north end of the county, but if you walk out into someone's cotton field and you start picking cotton because it's pretty, or you pick, you know, a corn off the stalk, you've just trespassed and committed a crime. You've stolen someone's produce. Or product, so you know it. How's the beach any different? I mean, from a private property rights standpoint.
I will say this one thing though, that when we first moved here, the thing that blew my mind was I'd been to beaches all over, like California, and you know, not as much in other places, but I'd seen them, you know, up and down the West Coast, where parking is impossible, parking doesn't exist, parking is expensive, beach access is very rare, you know, except for a couple of spots. And we came here and we went to Pensacola Beach. And I'm like, oh my God.
It's
look
open.
Look at it. It's free parking. It's right next to the sand. There's all kinds of sand available for everybody. I just thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen, having come from places where that just doesn't exist.
Right.
You know, and so it's a, you know, I understand why it's so desirable and why it's, you know, if you've gotten accustomed to that, finding something else.
We have the most beautiful beaches in the world.
100%. I will agree with you. Every time on that.
See, that's what I do. I bring Democrats and Republicans together. The Navy Boulevard redesign. Jonathan, I'm picking all your old district stuff. But it's kind of expensive, $12 million. But it I think it's going to look really good. I mean, I like the project. I mean, it does have a, I'm calling it a roundabout. It's not really a roundabout. It's a round-shaped turnaround, but it's a roundabout in the middle there. And,
yeah.
You know, you're going to have a signboard, and you're going to have a park-ish, okay? And you're going to have, it's going to look underground utilities. So, I mean, it looks like a nice project. It's better than what we got now.
Right. I think it will improve the area. I mean, it's a $12 million well spent, as opposed to buying, you know, all these signs that we're putting up that cost a lot of money.
And the turnaround issue is real. 1,000 cars a day, especially during Blue Angels practices.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nightmare for the base to keep telling people you're at the wrong entrance. You're at the wrong entrance. You're at the wrong entrance.
That one piece of it, I agree with the spend on helping the unknowing not have to cross the bridge. I mean, it's an operational security issue, right?
And if you can keep the public who needs to go to the parts of the base that are available to them from getting on the bridge, that's a win.
Right. Yeah. But again, it's only for people that work on the base or have DOD front gate access, right? All the aesthetics and the accoutrement and pretty and this and pedestrian friendly. And no one walks down there. Let's just be honest. I mean,
well, there's going to be a walking path. So don't you think people will walk down there?
Well, they may walk down there, but if they can't walk onto the base, you're going to walk to the end and turn around and walk back.
Yeah.
And most of the folks down there on Navy Boulevard, if you're on the west side, you're on the water side. Mm-hmm. So there, will it improve pedestrian access? Okay. I can see that. But I mean, you know, it's something for the FDOT to maintain, right? You're be careful what you ask for. It's just going to add more maintenance.
It seems like, I'm just thinking about this for the first time. Actually, let's take a real quick break. John's got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, nor any delays. Traffic is flowing smoothly throughout our area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You know, I think it'll look nice. And now that you're making me think about this a little bit that I hadn't. The public doesn't go to the front gate. The public goes to the back gate.
That's right.
Except once a year for homecoming.
Right.
Assuming that it happens, I got fingers crossed, but we're in a shutdown, so, you know.
Or if you're going to the cemetery.
Or if you're going to the cemetery, right. And so the vast bulk of the non-repeat daily customers are going to the back. And so when it comes to making it look nice, you're making it look nice for not the vast public, but you are making it look nice for, you know, visiting brass, maybe for funeral processions, which is true. Okay, that's not a nothing. And so, I don't know, maybe there's something about that that's a little odd. That it's not really using the money to create a thing that most of the people will enjoy. Then again, it's so nasty looking now.
It depends on where the tax dollars are coming from, because it's all tax dollars, right? Whether it's federal or it's local. Can we use tourism development tax dollars on it? No, because no tourists go in the front gate.
Right.
Some do.
Right.
So is that a bucket of money that they could use, or LOST dollars? But you're taking money, if you're taking local Escambia County tax revenue and using it for something that not all Escambia County is going to have some benefit from, and there's arguments to say, well, you know, improving it will make everybody better for everybody. Well, okay, maybe. But really the issue is a federal issue, right? It's front gate access.
Right.
It's DOD. Are we using federal tax dollars to do it? If we're not using the majority of federal tax dollars, I'm opposed to it. If we're using the majority of local tax dollars to improve it, just so we can say, hey, look at the shiny brass penny that I just polished up for you.
The money could come from the infrastructure bill.
Right. I mean, if there's federal dollars, I'm more okay with it because it's someone in Arizona
and if the big sort of the obvious benefit is to avoid stressing the base front gate, well, that's a federal concern.
Yeah. Right.
That's not really an our concern. Although I like the message board, the idea that at, you know, Gulf Beach Highway, you'd have a board that says, a back gate, dummy. You know, go the other way.
Right.
And that's good for everybody. But it is, as you say, it's primarily a benefit to the base, which the base is very important to our economy, but also the base is a federal.
Oh, it's the most important thing in our economy.
Right. Mm-hmm. And keeping good relations with the base. And, you know, that's all of that is to the positive. Do you see this as an economic development thing? Like, I am still struck by my favorite burger restaurant in Pensacola that no longer exists, the Burger Factory.
Mm-hmm.
Had their first location right there, in the middle of a strip mall across from the school. They couldn't serve alcohol because they're too close to the school. Bummer, but okay. And that sat vacant now forever, all the years since they went away. Like, I don't know why people don't. I mean, it seems like that'd be an area where you'd get business, but I guess not. And so would this help for that? You got the new the Circle K, is it, that's going up the Quick Mart? What's the one that's going up on the corner there now? I mean,
yes,
things are happening.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But again, that's at Gulf Beach Highway. One block south,
right.
Two blocks south is where the Burger Factory was.
Yeah, and it's a much less trafficked area, certainly, mm-hmm. once you get south of Gulf Beach Highway. Well, Gabe Valmont, we didn't get to talk about any of the national big Democrat things knocking down the East Wing.
I'll have to come back.
There you go. Great to meet you in person. I think we met in person, but great to have you on the show. Jonathan, always great
every
to
hour
have you.
And
thanks.
Breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.